Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
We did it, gentlemen. We are through and we're done with TNG. All seven seasons, all 178 episodes. I'm joined by Clay and Modi. Guys, how are you?
Hey.
Hey, feeling good.
We are going to... what's the temperature out there in Tucson, Arizona? We are going to be talking about the series wrap-up. We got a couple of segments here. We're going to be talking about the wrap-up, the series as a whole. We've got a Q&A section where people sent in some questions. We're going to try to answer those to the best of our ability. We've got some suggestions for how the podcast can fix. I'll be doing the giveaway, and then we'll be doing future plans for the show. So, first off, any feedback on what it's been like to do a podcast for over 2 years from either of you?
I love it. This was the first podcast I'd ever done, and who knew I enjoyed speaking into the void about Star Trek.
Do you remember that? Way back, I had my Fenway apartment. You came up to the one-bedroom apartment with Sean, and we recorded a couple things with a mic in the middle of the room.
Yep.
It sounded like garbage. And we eventually just now we talk on Skype, so it sounds like equal amounts of garbage, but at least we each have our own microphone.
Different garbage now.
Yeah, no, it's been great, though. I mean, you know, I had a lot of fun doing this, and then, you know, that gave me the idea to spin off and do The Prisoner with you, Wes, which I thank you again for doing that with me, sitting through that. And now Sean and I are doing a Batman podcast that hopefully will come out before either one of us get tired of doing it. So
yeah. Modi, any thoughts?
No, I think it's been great. I'd never had been on a podcast either before, and it's been awesome. So
it's just basically taken over my YouTube channel. I was a little bit surprised. I try to keep the channel. If people don't know, the reason this is called the Penske File is because it's a reference to the Seinfeld episode where George gets hired, or George pretends that he has a job, and they give him the Penske File, and he has no idea what it is. And that's kind of how I feel about my YouTube channel. I put up basically whatever I think I want to do, which probably doesn't benefit me for longtime viewers and everything, just because I'm too scattershot. But the podcast has taken up a surprising amount of my time, much more than I anticipated it would do.
It does. The name does make it harder to find a little bit.
It does.
Yeah.
Just because it's not Star Trek related. Yeah,
a
Star Trek podcast, and then you're like, the what?
That's my one big regret from the show is that I didn't get early on enough to getting a name that would matter, because as I said, it started as a YouTube channel. So if people are looking for it, it's because it's on my channel, kind of. So I didn't think that it needed a name.
Right.
But now I realize it does need a name. And now I feel like I can't be an asshole and give it a new name at this point in the show.
Sure, you can.
I've paid for the host guitar.
Come back next week for Barclays Girls.
You can rename it. You can rename it if you want to.
If people have a good idea for what we should call the show going forward, let me know.
Jordy sucks the podcast.
I'll see if host guitar will let me refund my money. That's some kind of podcast joke. I can't remember what it was. But the podcast has been interesting. I think podcasting is my favorite form of media generation, because it's unique in that people are very forgiving of conversational podcasts, where they are not forgiving of that in a video, which I think is sort of a fascinating insight into what humans will watch. But yeah, it's been 2 years.
Out of curiosity, can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
I think that if the podcast was me doing the same exact thing but with a video on it, I feel like people would be. I think people would say this is not good for some. Like you almost have to put in more effort into the videos to make people feel that you've done something that is worthwhile of being a video, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think I know what you mean.
I feel I've been very fortunate that the community on YouTube has actually been appropriate, but I do get a lot of comments of people who come on and just say, where is the video to the podcast.
Yeah.
You would want that. You wouldn't want that.
Right. It would just be us on Skype or something like that.
Oh, yeah, God. I hate that shit. Yeah.
But I think people would prematurely judge it. You know, where I think audio-only podcasts get away with a lot of leeway in that regard, which I think is fascinating.
Although, I mean, I can tell you if we had done video, I mean, as we learned doing the Chaos on the Bridge thing, if we did video from your old place, it might not work. But your new setup looks real nice. That'd be a great place to do like an Rush Limbaugh, Alex Jones video feed from Star Trek from.
You can check out that podcast that I do. Clay has some opinions about the Illuminati that he has not been able to get out there. Yeah, but
did you ever notice that Data's eye is exactly the same eye from the back of the $1 bill?
Wow. Yeah. It's and he was.
That's just the tip of the iceberg.
They found him
the tip
in
of
a
the spear.
Tip of the spear, absolutely. Yeah, I think the podcast has been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it. I'm grateful for everyone who does it. I'm grateful for everyone who listens. I'm grateful for the time that people are willing to put into it. You guys obviously included and all that stuff.
I'll tell you, it's 100% easier when you don't have to edit this shit. So I appreciate the work that you do.
I agree too. I will guess on anybody's podcast now that I know how easy it is to do.
Yeah, it's
awesome, guys.
If you just gotta show up and kind of, you know, crack wise about something, I'm your man.
Yep. I can do that all day.
It's tough. It's fascinating. Thank you, YouTubers. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, patrons. Most of all, the only thing that's tough is I don't really know how many people listen to the podcast at this point. If I was to conservatively guess, I think I'm around 500 mm-hmm. regular listeners, which is very pleasant for me. I'm very happy.
Is that including
my parents?
Talking like no. Is that including like YouTube watchers and people who are downloading it?
Yeah,
on
that's everybody.
And stuff?
People,
yeah, okay.
It gets slightly more downloads than it gets YouTube views.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm around 500. It's so hard to tell with these stats. It doesn't mean anything. But judging by the amount of feedback I get, I think that sounds about right if you go by the YouTube 110-1 rule, which is like comments, mm-hmm. views, and likes or whatever. Mm. But yeah. Let's talk about TNG wrapping up. I just wanted to get that out of the way at the up front and just say thank you to everybody. It's been a lot of fun, and we're going to be continuing on, which we'll get to shortly. But let's wrap up TNG. Where do you guys want to go with this? You tell me. No idea?
Put us on the spot here.
Anything? Yeah. Is there any...
You can see why he keeps bringing us back.
What kind of
yep.
What kind of change
drive this thing forward?
What kind of change? how has this changed the series for you, I guess? If it has changed how you like perceive it going through all these episodes one after the other, talking about them.
I don't really think it has changed it that much for me. it hasn't made me remember them any better. If you've noticed the last season or so of my appearances, it's a third of it is me going, I don't remember that episode. I think I covered it, but I don't really know.
Yep.
But it's, you know, I've never, it's one of those shows that I've always appreciated, but I've never sat down and looked at, critically or analytically. And when you do that, it really, it opens it up in a way that is really interesting. Like that's just something I like to do. I like to take apart shows and movies or stories because I think it helps me as a storyteller to figure out what they did right, what they did wrong, what they could have done better. And Star Trek is when it's at its best, it's so good that it's really helpful to look at it analytically and kind of learn something from it. But just as far as how much I enjoy the show or anything like that, I don't really think it's changed that much. Like I don't even know if I could tell you if I have any really newer favorite episodes.
Sure.
Maybe a couple. I think the biggest standout for me that I was surprised at was, I don't even remember those two Riker episodes from season 7. Is it 7 where he goes? Here I go.
Where he frame of mind. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
And then the Tom Riker episodes. I don't even know if I've ever watched those ones before, but those are great.
Interesting.
And those are kind of those stand out as being ones that I didn't really know was there, and I'm really glad that I saw.
Yep. Modi, would you any big changes?
I guess the biggest change would be I didn't realize how many bad episodes there are.
Sure.
When I first watched this, it's like, man, I could have skipped a lot of these episodes the first time through this. Because I've only watched the series twice now. Because I watched it with my wife maybe a couple years ago before we started doing this. And then I watched it again for each of the episodes here. And, looking at it analytically and critically, like, it's changed the appreciation I have for him, and I realize how many bad episodes there are, but I still like the show. It's the thing. It's like, I think the show is worse than I used to, but I love it more somehow.
Sure, yeah.
So I don't know what that's about exactly, but it's basically my summation for it. I think
I can get behind that. The podcast, as I mentioned before, has been something of an illumination where it's taken the mystique off of the series for me. I mentioned before how I used to think that maybe just magically there was an episode I had never seen before and I would search in vain to find that episode. That never happened. I've seen all the episodes. I definitely have now. But it's also taken away the sort of – in my mind, there's always – something magical about the show that no longer really exists for me. And that sounds sadder, I think, than it is. It's nice to know that I've completed it, that I've seen all of them. That's fascinating. Do you think there's something unique about Star Trek that allows this kind of podcast? I couldn't do this for a lot of other shows.
You don't think so?
I couldn't do this for I could never do this for an ER, you know, or something like that.
Right. Okay.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah. When I was looking to do a podcast of my own, I always wanted to do The Prisoner. That was number one on the top of my list. And then after that, I remember when we were getting towards the end of it, we were kind of joking around thinking about what we might do next. And for me anyway, I feel like to sit down and dedicate the time to talk about a series like this, it has to have some sort of angle to it that lends itself to discussion.
Yep.
And Star Trek definitely has that. There's an ethos behind it. There's an overall idea, an overall theme, and it really lends itself to discussion. I mean, you've had a lot of great conversations about this show that have gone beyond just doesn't Wesley suck as a character? You know, the first episode I was on, Angel One, is just is a complete dumpster fire of trying to make a statement and really blowing it hard.
Yep.
And, you know, you could talk for a long time about that. And, you know, you've had a bunch of different people on with different opinions and stuff, and it's been great. and that's why I find it really difficult to listen to. Let me back up. I think there are people who don't feel the same way as you or I might about what it takes to be a show worth covering, because there are podcasts about shows I would never in a million years think to cover.
Right.
Because I don't have anything to say about it. I think you said a long time ago or at some point that comedy shows are specifically very difficult to do.
This is a Friends podcast. I can't imagine.
Oh, God.
What are you going to say? Do you remember when Chandler came in and said, how big could my pants be or whatever?
Dan and I had kind of very briefly been like, oh, we're both huge Simpsons fans. Excuse me. And we were like, oh, maybe we should do a Simpsons podcast. And then I thought about it for a minute. I was like, no, that would be terrible. I mean, it would just be no offense to anybody who has a Simpsons podcast out there, because I know they exist. But it's just like, what do you do other than, you know, be like, well, this is the episode where Bart does this, and this is the first time you see Bleeding Gums Murphy.
Right.
And, man, isn't it hilarious how Homer eats the fish and thinks he's going to die? I don't know.
It's either a recap or you get so into the detail of the episode for diehard sort of facts fans.
Yeah. It's like I don't know what the angle is there for me. Like there's no interesting take. But Star Trek itself, I think, you know, as I said, it was created with that angle already built into it. So it's just naturally something to talk that's worth talking about, I think.
Modi, what'd you think?
I agree. I think the source material here is lends itself to the podcast well, for sure, because it has different ways you can view it, different lenses you can look at it through. And I agree with your rationale for comedy shows in that certain shows would not work that well. I think that there, I could now that I've done a lot of these analytic looks at this, and I you know, I like doing that kind of thing. I definitely could do this for a pretty wide variety of shows, I think, but there's just something about this that does lend itself well to discussion.
I think it's kind of like what Patrick Stewart said about how the show, he didn't think it got recognized for awards because it tried to do too many shows. I think that's a key part of it. Like, there's Mystery Trek episodes, there's the Prime Directive episode. Like, there, it's not like, I think the worst example would be if anyone can do a Law and Order podcast, that would blow my mind. Like, how can you talk about Law and Order that way? Everything is exactly the same. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I guess that's my kind of takeaway. I think that's why Star Trek is interesting in that regard, because it's a nice mix of different shows. And I'm sure there are other shows that do that as well. But it's the one that sort of comes into my mind immediately. And I think that's why it, I mean, there's honestly, there's a ton of Star Trek podcasts, you know, and people listen to them all. There's enough variety of what's going on that people continue to listen to them.
I think you can find the angle on a lot of other shows. It's just not as easy as it is with Star Trek, because it's, like I said, it's built into the idea of the show, basically.
Right, right.
You know, like the Batman podcast that Sean and I are doing, it took me a while to figure out what the angle was that we wanted to take for that, because otherwise you're just, you know, you're covering a cartoon.
Right.
And it's what is worth talking about there. But once we found it and I was like, okay, this is kind of a good way to approach it, then it became interesting to me. So I think it's if you can find the angle on something that isn't that obvious, that's great. But Star Trek does have it, you know, it's like front and center.
Yeah, ready made for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So no one's really opinions have changed. I guess I should talk about how my opinions TNG has changed. I mean,
I will say, before you get into that, my opinion has changed. It hasn't changed because I think I've never watched the entire series all the way through. So some of that mystique you're talking about that you feel like it's lost, I still have that a bit because there are plenty of episodes I've never seen.
Right. And some you just don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. Modi, when you were talking about how you didn't realize how many bad episodes there were, the first time that I decided to sit down and I was going to watch the entire series, I looked and I saw how many episodes just in general that there were, and I was like, I can't do this. So I've watched probably, at this point, I've probably watched about 2/3 of the series. Yeah. So there's a good chunk that I still haven't seen. So I enjoy being able to kind of just dip back into that world every now and then. But I can totally see how if you're there warts and all with this show, then it's probably going to change.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's just so it's limited. It's small. It's like it's easily graspable and you can sort of comprehend all the episodes. I mean, there's still 26 episodes each season. This is absurd. Mm-hmm. We're now living in a post that kind of network world. I mean, I think that the show in general, right, we can divide this show into segments. There's the first and second season, and then there's all the other seasons. Those are like the two eras of the show. Very generally, the first season is trash. Second season has interesting ideas that are mostly covered in trash. The third season is when it gets good. Fourth season is a bit of a letdown. Fifth season is good. Sixth season is very good, very consistent, and seventh season is very much of a letdown. I guess my sort of another big takeaway was that there was a very small window where this show is what you would, in your mind's eye, consider to be TNG. Mm-hmm. And it's basically seasons 3 to 6. And season 3 actually doesn't always fit in that way. But one thing I noticed was the formula that came through hot and heavy. Did you guys get worn out by the formula or anything? What wore you out the most, if anything? Characters or...
I think it was the formula. Because the formula works when they you know, give you a good episode. But if you get a dragger, man, ugh, that formula, it's just... You've got an A plot and a B plot, and the A plot's boring, and the B plot is even more boring, and everybody's just standing around like a bad episode of TNG. Not bad like an Angel One bad, where it's like it's so hilariously off the mark that it's worth talking about.
Right.
But if you just get like one of those like Bloodlines or like one of those just ass dragging boring episodes.
Yeah, generic
of TNG.
Episode. Yeah,
it's just all of that stuff is so right there, and that formula really, really screams at you at how hampered the show can be when it leans too much on the formula and not enough on what they're actually doing.
It's generally the episodes where it doesn't seem like they believed in the idea quite whole, and so they just kind of fill it with a sci-fi B plot and they make it a character story that sometimes they don't even really connect all that well.
Yes,
it just wraps up.
Yeah,
and those are kind of the worst section of the show. I mean, it's tough. There's so many of them. There's nothing really specific outside of that. There's so much to cover, I'm going to have a difficult time picking up. Maybe we should move to some questions, and that'll kind of guide what we go on.
Sure.
Question from – let's go to Eric, first of all. We've kind of done – well, the most surprising thing that you learned going through this rewatch, for me, it's the formula. The formula that is so – you might not notice it unless you're watching two episodes a week, and then you really just get sucked into this is what they're going to be doing. This is what they're going to be doing. Did any of your opinions change about any of the characters going through the show? This is also from Eric.
You want to go, Modi?
Modi?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Let me think on it.
Yes, definitely for me. I never realized, you know, having never sat down and really watched it super closely, a lot of the character stuff was never super apparent. Like Troy, basically. I never really thought about how Troy is kind of a shitty character.
Yeah.
She's there. She's part of the main cast. She seems like she's, you know, indispensable, but she kind of is very dispensable. And the fact that they brought in a second Troy who was better than her made that even more
obvious.
Apparent.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, I know it's been kind of a running joke with me, half joke, but I seriously had a totally newfound appreciation for Tasha Yar.
Oh, honestly,
because
really?
I think that she could have been a great character. I think her character would have been a good addition to that cast if they had done something good with her. But I just don't think that she got a chance. I mean, if you go back
and she bailed early, you know.
That's the thing. But I mean, like, honestly, if any of those characters had bailed in the first season, you could say the same thing.
Yes.
If Troy jumped ship in the first season, you'd be like, yeah, well, Troy sucked anyway.
Right.
If Worf jumped ship after the first season, Worf wasn't really that great. They didn't know what they were doing yet. They weren't writing these characters. They were just stuck in that Roddenberry bullshit. Where he doesn't – everybody has to be like very antiseptic and
clean.
Not touch each other.
Not to distract. Have you guys seen a first season episode recently?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay. Modi, what'd you think of any characters that have changed for you?
I was trying to think of any that I had opinions change on. I couldn't really nail any down that I've really changed my original opinions. We just went deeper on a lot of characters. I have a newfound appreciation for them a lot more, I think, than I did before. And even a bad character like Troy, generally most of the time she's not being used well. It's even for the characters that have struggled, it's still new appreciation for them in a certain way.
I made a sort of a rough sketch here. Riker, I greatly improved my opinion on. I think Riker is one of the top characters in the show, actually. I don't really know why, but he's very versatile in a lot of stories that he can get plugged in. Picard and Data stay the same. Troy is way down. Barclay and Guinan, I improved on. I like them too. Guinan's excellent. Barclay's an interesting character that's not like anything else the show has ever done.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Before we did the show, I don't even think I knew that character at all.
Barclay.
I don't even know if I'd ever seen an episode with him in it.
Oh, okay.
If I had it, didn't stick with me. So he was one where he was a surprise. Like, oh yeah, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically it. Riker's way up. Everyone else is kind of the same. Worf, is Worf a good or a bad character?
I think he's fine.
I think he's fine.
Yeah, I don't.
They don't use him well all the time necessarily, but yeah, I think he can be.
What's his biggest problem?
Dimensionality. I think they don't
He doesn't know how to talk to ladies.
He's too static.
Yeah.
He doesn't. I think you're probably right. I think that's probably it. I don't really know how to describe it better than that.
I think it's just the problem with the Klingons in general at this point, right? They're just kind of, they're like rigid and uninteresting at the same time in a lot of cases. And I don't really, like, a warrior culture shouldn't be so disinteresting, but they kind of are. And I think that that's just kind of a weird combination that the show was never really able to get over. Thoughts on a TNG reboot? Would you be interested in a TNG reboot? This question comes from Paul.
Let's define
the reboot. Are we talking about a movie, like the TOS movies got rebooted?
I guess.
If that's what they mean. I don't think I would ever want to see that. No.
Okay.
I don't think it's. I think it's too modern feeling. It's on the cusp of modern storytelling here. That it doesn't need to be rebooted. They might anyways. Who knows? But it's modern. It has some like old time TV kind of stuff. It does, but there's enough modernity in the late seasons that it still works on television even today.
I don't think that the TNG, the TOS storytelling method works as an updated action blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And TNG's sort of tone doesn't really work that way. It doesn't make a lot of sense if you have a younger, hotter Picard coming in.
Yeah. That doesn't improve anything. Like, right. I can see what they tried to do with the Star Trek reboots and tell it a different way. And I can see the benefits of that compared to the original series. I just don't know how you make TNG again without making it something completely different.
Yeah.
I don't think straight rebooting it like that would add anything at all. I don't know. It's tough because I'm sure plenty of people said that about the original. But I agree with what you guys are saying, that I think it's different with the original because the storytelling is so different. The way they were doing it in the 60s, and
Kirk is different.
Yeah, Kirk is different. That whole group is, I think part of it is that group is fairly thinly defined compared to the way that they as deep as they go in TNG with the characters.
Yeah.
And if you were to just do a 1-to-1 TNG reboot, yeah. Well, okay, let's put it this way. If you did it as a show, I think it would be terrible. However, if you were in the Abrams universe and you did like one of the movies, they ended up in the future and they ended up running into the updated version of TNG for like 40 minutes, I would be on board. Why not?
You'd like
hell?
That?
What the hell?
What the fuck? You take my money.
Yeah, why not? My answer is no. However, I think they should just throw the whole book out. And timeline-wise, and just have the next TOS movie be the TOS crew versus the Borg.
Yeah.
Because they've never done that, and that would be – I would pay to see that.
I think that if I ever see old Picard, like old – or Prime Spock or whatever it's called was in the TOS movies, I think I'd be disappointed.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. So I'm basically anti-TNG reboot for those reasons. I don't think it would really work, and it's not anything I want to see. I don't think the actors seem all that interested in it either at this point.
How would you feel about if in the new series they do episodes that take place in the TNG timeline at some, like in the future in the TNG timeline at some point, so you get your Geordi's been stuck in the teleporter for 40 years thing or whatever.
Would I like that?
Or if you just get like an on-screen thing from Ambassador Picard or whatever,
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. On the Patreon, we did a podcast with Trek about where we talked about the 10 essential TNG episodes. We tried to hash it out what they would actually be, and the Relics was listed as one of them, and that's the one where Scotty gets stuck in the transporter. And I don't know how did TOS people feel about that. I have no idea how they would feel about seeing Scotty in the show. It feels like a unnecessary tie-in at some points, but I don't really know. I do hope that Discovery at least mentions TNG to tie into it.
So, but like, if you were watching the next Abrams universe movie, and they get hit with like whatever and end up in the future, and somebody boards the ship and Kirk is like, "What's your name?" And he says, "My name is Captain Jean-Luc Picard." you would shit your pants. Come on. You wouldn't mark out hard for that if they did that.
I sort of don't treat the reboots as real movies in a way.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of outside of that. Like I mean, they kind of did it with Khan, and it wasn't that great.
That's different though, because
is it? Is it?
Yeah. No, it is. It is because they build that entire. This is. We can get into this if we ever cover the movie, but they build that entire character based on a phone call they make to Spock.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous.
We'll get into that shortly. I guess we'll move on. I don't think any of us particularly want to see a TNG reboot. The best moment of the worst character. I'll go first. Gives you guys a chance to think about it if you want to insert all.
Sorry, I wanted to say this, but it just popped in my head. Before, how would you feel about if they did a future Trek show where Data, Brent Spiner, was the voice of the computer?
Well, Spiner's always been written in as he has the Soong ancestry, where he can play various Soong family members. I wouldn't mind if he became the computer, but I don't even mind if they continue to establish the fact that he has other distant relatives.
Yeah.
I think he's done that on all three of the spinoffs, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, there's that one relative that fought the aliens in Independence Day, right?
Right. He's the godfather of this whole thing.
First Ian Soong.
And then the other one that was on Blunt Talk, the canceled Patrick Stewart sitcom.
Oh, was he on there?
Yeah, nice. He was on that. Best moment of the worst character.
Ooh.
This for me is Troy in Second Chances, which is the double Riker episode.
Oh yeah,
that is a good one. Maybe Troy's best appearance, and it's not even technically her episode. But they got the character right. She doesn't do anything annoying with the emotions of people. They reset her lost love makes sense in context of that episode. The way that she and William Riker, as opposed to Tom Riker, sort of hash it out, feels very nice.
Yep.
And she plays it well. And I thought that was she's the worst character on the show, outside of like Wesley. And that was her sort of redemption moment.
So, you know, now that I'm thinking about this, can we say that she's the worst character on the show when we've gone 30 minutes or so and we haven't even said the words Beverly Crusher?
Is it worse to be bad, or is it worse to be unoffensively invisible?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like Troy is probably. Yeah, I guess I would rather watch a Crusher episode than a Troy episode.
I would.
Because at least with Troy, at least with Crusher, there's not untapped potential that they're just not using.
Right.
I guess.
We see all of her potential just played out in front of us. Yeah, I'd rather watch a Crusher episode. I think she's a better actress as well.
Yeah.
Grace McFadden is a better actress. Anyone have any idea, like, your worst character's best moment? If you think it's Troy, would you agree with that? Or you think Troy was better in Face of the Enemy, Modi? You watched that one. I can't really think. I mean, Wesley didn't have any good moments to me.
Yeah.
Not really. No.
So Alexander didn't have any good moments.
I would say he's probably the worst for me.
Alexander.
I would put him below Troy. Yeah, Alexander. Okay. As far as characters go, it's my least favorite character on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any good moments, so it doesn't matter.
I would put him below just because he's one of those characters that every time I see him listed in the description, I don't watch that episode.
Right.
Okay, skip this one.
It's tough. I mean, outside of that, going up the chart, it would be like Geordi would be the next worst character, I think.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Did Geordi have a great moment? Him.
When he turned into that lava monster?
Yeah. That was also very bad. See, a lot of them surprisingly don't have good moments. They just kind of are eternally present for us.
Well, so this is not exactly what the question is intending to mean.
Yeah.
But I think one of the most interesting Geordi moments is the episode where he builds the girl out of the holodeck based on her file.
We didn't even mention in All Good Things that he marries her in the future.
That's her?
That's Leah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, why did you tell me that? That just ruined that episode for me, because that's bullshit. That's ridiculous.
That was, I'm going to do a video eventually.
Retroactively, All Good Things is now a 2.
I'm gonna do a video of the like top 5 worst moments in Star Trek: The Next Generation, and I think the moment when Geordi flips the blame tables on Leah Brahms when he's like, "I was trying to be your friend, and even though I jacked off to your holographic image, that doesn't make me a bad guy." That's one of the worst episodes moments of an episode I think that I can remember.
Yeah, I would say though that's like, if you're looking for a talking point about characters, you could unpack that episode for like an entire semester of college.
Right. We should do the minute by minute podcast about that episode.
That episode. Yeah.
Those are just the kind of the bad moments. How about the worst moments of the best character? I'll say it's Data in Descent. Where they undo, it's the beginning of the end for the Data character. It's where they make all the bad decisions that are going to fuel the movies with him. And
just in case I haven't covered that one, which I don't think I did, what happens?
Descent is the one where Data betrays the Federation and joins the Borg with Lore.
Oh,
and they,
that one.
Lore gives him the emotion chip, and the emotion chip makes its horrible, horrible appearance.
Mm.
Data acts like he's a junkie with emotions.
It's really funny because I kept waiting for that one to pop up because on the tape that I had that I watched these episodes on at home, I always had like the last 5 minutes of that where they show up and the Borg are there, and then Lore and Data both show up and they're like, "What? You're on the same side?"
Yes.
And I don't think I've ever watched the entire episode. I just seen the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, don't watch it.
Do yourself a favor and don't watch that. Yep.
That's not a good one. So worst moment of the best character, Picard, have any bad moments? Anything you were like, what the fuck, Picard? Riker?
Oh, boy.
Worf?
Worf, I feel like...
Well, all of Worf's parenting moments were pretty bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Maybe that might be an answer. Marina Sirtis, I watched a back, like a behind-the-scenes thing on the DVD, and she was kind of funny that she was saying... She always thought that Troy and Worf getting together was a stupid decision, and she thought that it turned Worf into a pussy, which I thought was a funny take on that I think is true, and I think it's maybe it's one of his bad moments, I guess.
I think they should have put Worf and Yar together.
Yes. Makes more sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Makes a total bunch of sense. Yeah, but I think it's Data. Data's the character that can be ruined the most easily, I think, just because of the nature of his character.
Yeah.
You can write him wrong and he goes off the rails. You have to give him the wrong line or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to be pretty conscious of who that character is when you're writing him to make sure that you don't screw it up. Like, you know, we've talked about 100 times how... He doesn't understand the etymology of the term bingo, but he has like all of the knowledge from like every encyclopedia ever inside of him. You know, that stuff. Those are tiny things, but you got to be very aware of him when you write him.
Right. Yes, and I think he's the easiest to sort of go off the rails quickest. Let's see here. We did Roddenberry's reaction to All Good Things. Would be kind of love it. Do you think any TNG character should have gotten into a romantic relationship in the early seasons? If so, who would you choose? Was it a mistake that they didn't do Crusher and Picard?
See, we talked about that a little bit in the All Good Things episode, and I don't know. Like, you know, I asked you guys if you thought they earned that kiss, and I think the way they handle it is fine. Like, I think it would be distracting, honestly. Like, anytime Picard gets a girlfriend, it's weird.
Yes.
You know, it's just something weird about it. I don't know.
I think the episode Lessons in season 6 basically summarized why the decision to not have him in a relationship makes sense on every level. One of the better episodes is one where he gets in a relationship with a crew member and then is forced to send her away on a dangerous away mission. And he thinks that she dies. And then they realize that they can't be together because he's going to be forced to do this all the time. And I think that covers why this doesn't really make sense. I think the show is so antiseptic and clean that the relationships would have cluttered it and not been done well.
It always puts me off. It always puts me off, too, because it's like Picard is – there's a very he's very stiff and he's very proper.
Yeah.
But every British. Time he's – yeah, every time he's involved with a woman or, like, they bring up a woman he used to be involved with, it's always like, well, you know, he was a real fuck machine in college. Right. And it's always – it's always disturbing.
He was quite a card player. Yeah.
Yeah, like, they, like it's not like the episode where he gets killed.
Tapestry.
Yes. It's like every time they talk about his past – they talk about how much of a wild child he was, and, yeah. But I never mm-hmm. buy it. You know, whereas I think I may have talked about this at the time when we were doing that episode. They do a similar thing in Buffy the Vampire Slayer where they take the Giles, her watcher, who's really, you know, stuffy and British, and they give him this, you know, kind of punk, badass backstory that comes out every now and then, so you totally believe it.
Right.
But in this, it's just like I don't buy it for a second that Picard, when he was in the Academy, was like, you know,
they were
Abrams version Captain Kirk or
they
something.
They were really just trying to do the – because they're supposed to be mirror images. Kirk was apparently the student when he was younger and became the wild child, and Picard is the opposite of that.
Oh, that makes me hate the Beastie Boys scene in the first movie even more.
It's not true to form. Not true to form at all. Yeah, I wouldn't have had a relationship episode, I don't think.
I mean, I'll just say it again. I wish that they had – if they hadn't killed off Tasha Yar, I wish they had – it would make the most sense for her and Worf to be in a relationship.
Yes. Yeah.
I would find that interesting. I would find watching that interesting.
The last question here.
I would watch all of it, too.
Over and over. The last question here from Paul is, where did I meet or find the guest stars, which we were kind of laughing at before? I only really know Clay. We've known each other.
Do you really know me?
No, not really. We only talk on Skype. We go to the Shondo every year. I know Clay because we have a mutual friend who I used to be roommates with. Mm-hmm. I know Modi from YouTube. That's about it.
Yeah.
Dan, I guess,
how did we meet? Like, I don't know what exactly we were doing. We're probably on the subreddit.
I think it was the Let's Play subreddit, and it started off there somehow. It's one of those weird kind of things that happened mm-hmm. 2 years ago. It's just a sort of random.
Recognize names and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Random connection. Dan, Tana, and Sean... Murphy are through Clay.
Yeah, I went to college with Dan, and I'm friends with Sean and Tana. All of them are Star Trek people, so they bugged me until they let me on the until I let them on the show.
The gatekeeper over here.
Yeah.
Sean Cordy actually did one episode. Who's the person that me and Clay know each other through? Mm-hmm. My buddy Mark is a friend from home. Christian and Joe are from the Star Trek subreddit, the Viewing Party subreddit. So you can go to reddit.com/StarTrekViewingParty, and they run that thing over there. They go through all the episodes and do a Reddit format. And then there's some woman named Amy who's on the show, but I don't really care.
Are those guys the Trekabout guys?
And Trekabout. Eric and Richard are from Trekabout. Okay. They do the Trekabout podcast, and Amy's my wife. And I think that's everybody. There's been quite a few people on the show now that I'm looking at the list. And I don't think I missed anybody. If I did, I apologize, but it was probably a one-off episode. But yeah, I don't. It's been a way to meet different people and get different opinions going on here on the show. I'm going to go to a tough question.
You guys want to have a convention next year?
Penske Falcon convention.
PenskyCon. Yeah. If the name sticks.
Actually, this weekend is Aresia, the sci-fi convention in Boston, where we kind of
is it really?
we fucked up. We should have had this panel there or something.
I know. I should have bought a thing. I could have flown you out, Modi, and you could I could have at least paid for
it. Do anything, you blew it.
Pay for half your ticket or something. Maybe fun. This might be a tough question for you guys, but I thought it was interesting. Scott says, if you were to show a non-sci-fi oriented person TNG, what would be the first five episodes you would show, and in what order would they be? He just says he wouldn't do the first two seasons because they're not very good, but he wouldn't. I thought this was the interesting thing. He also wouldn't want to show the best episodes right away, as those are better if you know the basics of the show, mm-hmm. which is true. So I came up with my list. You guys can just let me know if any episodes pop into your head after I give the list. So
sure.
I would show Survivors as the opening episode. That's the one where the crew beams down to the planet that's been wiped out, except for the one plot of land where the guy and his wife live.
Oh, right.
The second one I'd show would be Cause and Effect, where the Enterprise blows up.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I'd move on to The Drumhead, which is the trial episode. Mm-hmm. After that, I'd go with Darmok, mm-hmm. Which mm-hmm. is the Picard and the alien who can't speak the same language. And mm-hmm. then for fifth one, I wasn't sure if I would go with Sarek which is the one where Sarek visits the Enterprise and has to go through the mind meld with Picard, or The Inner Light. Do any of those you think you couldn't show to people? Or you'd be blowing it if you showed it to someone without them being familiar with the show?
I don't think so. I think that's a pretty solid list.
I mean, just the rationale. Survivors is a typical mystery episode. Drumhead is like the great moralizing type of TNG thing.
Yeah.
Darmok is like quintessential. You could put Darmok on any kind of TNG list, I think. Yeah. It works.
Yeah.
Cause and Effect is just great. And then Inner Light and Sarek are like the personal stories.
I assumed you were just going to say you'd show them the Royale five times.
I mean, we'd warm them up with that to get them ready for what they're about to enter. But I couldn't put any season one and two, I don't think.
Yeah. I can only speak to I watched a few episodes with my girlfriend who is not – she never watched Star Trek. She's into the sci-fi thing, but you know, not like hardcore.
Yeah.
And I just threw it all at the wall because I guess my thinking of it was the way we ended up watching them was I think we started doing this podcast and then that got me thinking about the show and talking to her about the show. And then I would just be like, oh, man, there's this great episode where blank, blank, blank. And then that's what we would end up watching.
Yeah.
So I think if I remember correctly, I think the first – two episodes, at least in the first handful of episodes she and I watched together, two of them were Cause and Effect and All Good Things, I think.
You really
so I just went right – I just don't swung for the lead. Fence.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, because I mean I guess my thought was, well, you know, on the off chance that she's not really into this and doesn't really care to watch any more of it,
right.
Those episodes are the ones where I'm like, oh, this is – you get the idea of what's going on, and it's like it's a nice high concept, and it's a fun watch regardless.
I mean, Scott's question here asked which order, right? So maybe I should put Cause and Effect first, right? Because there's no way you're not going to watch another episode after you see Cause and Effect, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably the one that will lock you in. Then you could go with something smaller, like the Drumhead or Darmok or something like mm-hmm. that. That's more mm-hmm. of like what the show is actually about. And then if they're still there at that point, you can go with the touching, heartfelt Sarek or The Inner Light by the end
well,
of it.
Well, I think what's actually pretty unique about the show is it covers so much stuff that you can almost take the temperature of the person you're talking to and pick one tailored right. to that person.
Yep.
Like if there's someone mm-hmm. who's kind of interested in sci-fi but is really interested in like human rights, you could go for the trial one where they put Data on
Drumhead.
Trial?
Oh, Measure of a Man.
Measure of a Man. And, you know, because mm-hmm. that brings up some interesting questions. And, you know, you can really tailor it to, you know, the person's love of Shooter McGavin kissing people.
That time travel and Shooter McGavin. No, I
or the,
totally.
Or the size of the hat Whoopi Goldberg wears. It's all there.
Modi, what how did your wife get you into this? She got you into it, didn't she?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I don't think she was more like you haven't seen this before, kind of like shocked, and we saw it on Netflix that it was available, so we just kind of dove into it.
Gotcha.
I don't think she ever tried to like ease me into it or anything like that, because I think she's pretty confident that I'd like it if I give it a chance.
She just started right at far points and just marched forward.
Yeah, start at the beginning. Exactly.
Onto Justice, onto Angel One. Yeah, I think
by that time I was like, what have you gotten me into? episodes, but
there's 150 episodes left.
Would you guys, if someone were to say, I've never watched Star Trek TNG, I'd like to start watching it, would you suggest to them, here's five episodes you should watch before you jump in? Or would you do that thing where it's like, yeah, no, it's a great show, I love it. The first two seasons kind of suck. There's 50 episodes you got to get through before it gets good. Like, or would you tell them, or would you be like, you know what, here's a chunk to start with, and then maybe go and look at everything else.
I'm always surprised on the Star Trek subreddit. People are like, I'm new to the series. I'm going to watch them. I have a hard time imagining anybody in this day and age who can sit and watch the series all the way through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That just seems impossible to me. I would.
Well, we proved them wrong, didn't we?
But I mean, the thing is that I would never recommend a early season episode to somebody. So I'd probably do here's the five episodes, like the ones we just listed. Maybe you should watch those. The problem is there's really no upside unless you're really into it to going back and watching the bad episodes.
Yeah.
True.
So you'd probably get stuck at that point. Although I think watching all the bad episodes makes you appreciate the good ones all that, right. all that much more.
Yeah. The one thing I remember before I had a better working knowledge of the show is the thing that made me want to go back and watch the earlier episodes is to figure out why Worf had a different colored shirt.
Right.
And there's no one episode you can really go to find that. So it's like you kind of got to figure out, oh, evolution, oh, she died and then he got a promotion. That was 25 episodes well spent to figure that out.
At least they mentioned Geordi gets promoted to chief engineer at the in the second season. That's like brought up to your attention, right, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Modi, what would you do if you had to pick? How would you ease somebody into Star Trek if you'd had to?
I would give him a primer, something like you're describing there. Give him a few episodes. I would maybe dive in five. I would say watch these three episodes. If you enjoyed these, power through the bad stuff in season one and two. Watch it all, but don't. If you watch an episode and feel bored by it in the first, you know, like 20 minutes, just turn it off, move on. It's not that important.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. Come back to it later. Just don't stress out about it if you're not like a completionist of any kind.
I mean, my feelings will be hurt, but just stop watching. It's like if you don't care about my feelings. Yeah.
If it's not interesting, there's more good stuff down the road. Just keep skipping if you can't find something like. Because I got into a slog. Like we would watch episodes, and we get stuck in like season two and like episode five, and we're like, okay. We can't do this anymore. We would stop watching it for weeks at a time because we'd have like all these bad episodes ahead of us still.
Right.
And we knew that it was not going to be good. And we were stuck in these like character episodes we don't care about. And so I would say skip liberally as much as possible, and you'll enjoy the series.
There are good lists of like the episodes you have to watch. Kind of. I always enjoy reading. Yeah. You can cut out a lot of the chafe or whatever it's pronounced to get to
this. It's pretty apparent if you should watch an episode or not.
Yes.
If you like it. If you watch the first 20 minutes of it, you can give it that much at least, or watch the first 10, 15. You can usually tell if it's worthwhile or not.
So we have a question about, it kind of ties into Discovery at this point. So it's like TNG was on the air when the Soviet Union broke up in 87, not that they broke up in 87, but it was on the air when the Union was falling apart. This made its optimism seem more realistic. The world is very different today, especially given the state of modern politics. Could a Trek series be viewed nearly so hopeful today? I guess my question would be, do you want narrative stories to be this hopeful? Tie into, I look at narrative storytelling as... The reason I couldn't get through The Leftovers season one, even though I hear season two is fantastic, season one of The Leftovers was a world that had this idea that something has happened, but everyone is so fucking morose about it. Like there's no, apparently humor has been extinguished. Apparently there's nobody who is optimistic about this besides like the religious cultists. But no one's trying to make money off of this as far as the episodes I've seen. Like, The Wire is the same way. The Wire is dealing with some of like the worst shit imaginable, but The Wire is also very funny at the same time. And real life and real drama, like some of the best dramas are also some of the funniest lines because they earn it by building the drama up. And series that are just endlessly morose or endlessly optimistic to me don't feel realistic.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I mean, the interesting thing there is – The part that's being left out of her breakdown, is that the original series was on during the height of the Cold War.
Right.
And it was you could argue that the entire ethos was sort of a direct response to the terror that was underlying everything in the world at that time.
Yep.
And I mean, you get, It allowed it to be an outlet for a lot of the fears and hopes of that era. So, you know, you've got the hope of everybody kind of
getting along,
getting along. But then you've also got your balance of terror episodes, which is basically like a Cold War sub episode.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me anyway, I think you need that optimism. I think it would be welcome. Because I know, at least from watching a lot of the superhero movies that they're putting out now, there's no – specifically the DC Comics ones – there's no heroing being done. You know, I'm watching Superman. I'm watching Batman versus Superman. I desperately, desperately want to see Superman. I want to see the bright beacon of that character who is going to save everyone and is going to make things right. I don't want to see the same, oh, the world is shitty and it rains all the time. And, you know, that's why I'm not going to that movie. I'm not going to see that for it to be a double down on how shitty everything is.
Right.
And I think Star Trek, the core concept of it is, it's very difficult for me to envision a way where that would be played cynically.
I think that my problem would be if I was to make the narrative, you can have the hopeful, optimistic center, mm-hmm. but it has to be challenged and equal.
Oh, absolutely.
Equal
absolutely.
Importance has to be placed on the negative aspects. Yeah, you know
definitely.
What I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, in the original series, they do that pretty well. I mean, it's the hopefulness of the narrative doesn't really come into play until later when Roddenberry decides to think of himself like a god.
Right.
But that is really the interesting thing about it, is challenging that. It's like, why have that as an idea unless you're going to break it down and try to figure out and poke at it and see whether or not it's even worth having to begin with.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Modi, any thoughts on this optimism jag?
Nope. I wanted to throw one of those in there for some fun. I think you guys got it. I mean, the way that TV works these days, it wouldn't be able to be how this is.
Yeah.
It does need a balance. You can't have the darkness of certain shows we get, and it wouldn't work in this kind of setting. But I think that if you have a balance, it'll work better today on television. But I mean, it doesn't need to be this optimistic generally.
I mean, I think that the I don't know if you guys know, but I think it seems extremely likely, it hasn't been confirmed, that the storyline for the first season of Discovery, what it's going to be, mm-hmm. and it's built off of a TOS episode where it's revealed that Kirk grew up on a planet where there was a fungal outbreak on their food rations, and so half of the society is deemed to have to be killed in order to allow the others to survive.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that.
And I think that's what the implication of the Discovery first season is going to be. So that is kind of what I'm looking for, where it's the hopefulness is because obviously Kirk survives this eventually. The show isn't about Kirk, but like people do survive out of it. And there's a sort of twisted moral to it. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of it's pushing the idea of what Star Trek's ethos is as far as it can go, basically.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I that sounds cool. I'm all on board with that.
And that of course means that's not going to be happening. But they cast somebody as a the scientist who studies fungus was one of the casting announcements, and that's one of the TOS things that deals with. Mm. So it seems likely Tarsis 4 or whatever. But let's move on to we have some suggestions I think for the podcast here. You guys can let me know what you think. We'll be doing ratings, all that stuff, continuing on. Season wrap-ups, I'm always going to continue doing that. We're going to be doing the polls and stuff. I do the 1-5 system because YouTube only allows 1-5 polling. I can only put 5 options in.
Really?
Yeah, so the 1-10, I would prefer that fine granularity of it, but the rating system only works on YouTube as a 1-5. That's why I do it that way.
I prefer the IMDb user rating, where apparently it's like 1-20. If you ever go into like people's reviews that they write on IMDb, there's always like 14 stars under whatever the thing is, and it's always like 3.5 out of 14 or something. It's really strange.
I there's an easy conversion you can do for 1-5 ratings to 1-10. I'll tell you after we record this. But if you're interested, make sure to check my YouTube channel out. I'll have a video explaining how to scale that up for yourself.
Oh, on the polls?
No, the how to make 1-5 be a 1-10 scale in your mind. It's really technical, but I can do it for somebody if they need it.
Just add a half to everything. It'll cover.
You just multiply by 2.
Oh, there we go. That's
just multiply by 2.
But I can't add that 1 to 10. I'll probably be changing the way that the podcast goes forward with the amount of set up and recording. I probably will stop. I'll drop the opening thing where I explain what episode and who directed and all that stuff and try to work that into the show more easily. So that'll be a change.
Can you start doing them like those people who record videos while they're driving?
They're
just driving. Yeah, they're driving and they just have the phone at them and they're like, you know, I just wanted to talk about this episode of Star Trek. That stuff blows my mind sometimes.
Smash format change.
Just focus on the road, guy.
Smash cut to, Casey Neistat is a big YouTuber who does that kind of stuff. It's a ton of work, is the thing. It's like, it seems insignificant, but it's such a huge amount of work to do that stuff.
It is.
Moving on to, do we have any plans for podcasting, other shows or topics after Deep Space Nine? Well, you guys can go to the Patreon, where we do other types of topics. I would do a podcast on every single topic I could if the time aspect wasn't so huge. I wake up every morning thinking I want a podcast about something else to talk about something else. The problem is A, finding someone who wants to talk about it with me, and B, having the time to do it. I don't want to do a podcast about every single episode of a show. Sometimes I feel like I should just do a podcast about a summary of a season, but that feels like I watch 13 hours of a show just to get a 45-minute conversation going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of about efficiency at this point. I'm a father now. I have a job. I have to balance my time a little bit better than I do right now currently. But do people have any suggestions? Let me know. The Patreon people can always suggest what they want us to cover.
Well, Faulty Towers only has like 6 episodes.
I know.
Right?
I should just restrict myself to BBC episodes and just do like The Office, the original Office and stuff like that. Chris writes, he listens to other podcasts and he is basically sort of concerned about the political bent that a lot of podcasts he listens to on shows and entertainment that he likes gets brought up. Basically just saying that this sort of like politicizing everything ruins how he remembers things that he grew up liking, which I think is a fair point. My counter to it, I wrote back to him, but I'll explain it better here. My counter is basically that I don't think a variety of opinions is bad. I do think that there is a bad way that some people look at topics, and I think it's not fair criticism when they do it, where it's basically viewing things through a prism that the show or whatever it is not saying that this is the prism that they're trying to look through.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's fair to the shows. I think a lot of people have a hard time separating their – politics is so funny because politics is so deeply ingrained in you that it's hard to not see things politically through your lens. But I think that a variety of like good conversation and a variety of opinions is always a good thing, especially for podcasts like this. And I'd never want to say that people shouldn't have a political opinion on it. I think it's more about that we as a society are just very bad at discussing political issues at this point.
So you don't think that the Goonies is actually Lyndon LaRouche propaganda?
Ronald Reagan.
I thought that was pretty much widely accepted as truth.
You guys check out more of my opinions on my Putin documentary, which I'm putting together on Patreon. But I mean,
did you notice the way that Data holds his hands in the third episode? Like he's throwing up Illuminati sign.
like a
comic. It's clear as day. Come on.
I mean, the Star Trek Next Generation, right, is a communist society, right? It's post-scarcity. Yeah. It's no one has to work if they don't want to. They choose to. That's why communism failed, but TNG works for some reason.
That's my favorite part about the entire concept is that that was like the one aspect that nobody bothered to mention in the 60s. it's just, you know, this utopian society where it's kind of communist, but it's you know, it's everybody just working together, you know, flying and checking out the stars.
We don't have flags or anything.
Because you don't have any currency anymore. But, you know, it's just, it's no nations, it's just one people.
This is the USS Gulag over here.
Yeah.
You're going to spend some time there. I think that this podcast is not going to shut down political discussion. I do think it's my job as the host to challenge everybody in a way that is to make them explain where angles are coming from. I think that this podcast does a good job of not really doing that. I think we're like diffuse enough in what we talk about where it's never really a problem. Deep Space Nine is inherently more political than TNG is. I can only promise that it's never going to get out of hand. If you like the show the way it is up to now, nothing's going to change, I guess, would be the way to go about it. Do you guys listen to anything where you get annoyed by the host's tangents sometimes? Is there any podcast? I remember, Clay, I showed you that that horror podcast that I was like, just see if you're into this. But the problem, we had the same problem. The hosts go on so many tangents that I just couldn't track what they were talking about.
Are you talking about Last Podcast on the Left?
Yes.
Okay, because that's now like one of my favorite podcasts.
Oh, is that really? You've changed
I did a total 180 on that one.
You betrayed
it. It's on my subscribe list. I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, I actually went to see them live last week. It was fantastic.
Really? Wow, interesting.
Yeah. With those guys, I think it depends. It depends on the show, because if you are used to it, it doesn't – it's not as jarring, I think. But for me, the stuff that I hate is when you have a show that's about whatever topic that you want to hear, and then like the first half of fucking hour is just them – just the host just
– shooting the shit.
Just thinking that it's Amateur Night at the Improv or something. Right. And it's just – talking about nothing that you care about, and it becomes so there's a podcast that I love, or I used to love, that I don't really listen to anymore because they had been on so long and all of their episodes started to drag and become very self-aware, and it all became like inside jokes that weren't really funny.
Yeah.
And I had been listening to it long enough that I got the jokes. It was just like this isn't worth my time. You've got a 2-hour episode and you're just you've talked for a half an hour, and then finally you're like, well, I guess we should probably talk about this movie. And just talk about the thing you're here to talk about so people can get in or get out, instead of just waiting for it.
I have a
that's my biggest podcast pet peeve, people who just drag it out.
Now that I've been doing this, I have a lot of podcast pet peeves, and people, please let me know if this show does anything that you find annoying. I'm trying to fix these things. Mine are so specific. Sometimes I hate excessive time coding in episodes. It drives me nuts when they like change the topic every 2 minutes and they time code where it is in the show. I feel like it's way too specific, and it means it means that they're just not staying on topic well enough. You know what I mean? They're just losing track of what they're talking about. I hate the lethargic openings where it doesn't get right into the show.
Yeah.
And if anyone's starting a podcast, my advice would be banter is the seasoning of the stew that is the podcast.
Yes.
You need banter to make it palatable, but if you put too much fucking banter in, no one wants to listen or eat your soup, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
That's the key to what I think is balancing a podcast. And we get a lot of comments saying that the show does that fairly well. You know, you have to have something to say.
Apparently, people really like the Nightfall saga. They want to hear our thoughts about Bane.
Well, that's about it. And thank you for the feedback about the show. Whenever you guys want to leave any feedback, that's all it is. Any other feedback? Yeah, just the polls. I mean, we're going to be going into TOS after this. We're going to be doing like 15 episodes of that, and then the movies.
Now, what made you decide to just do a handful of TOS?
I'm torn up on the inside about what. Now that I'm in this and I'm doing more than one season, I kind of feel like I'm betraying myself by not doing them all. Mm-hmm. But my problem for the podcast is that I have to balance everyone else's time.
Yeah.
Like, I can't ask people to do too much of this because people will stop wanting to do it. So I either need to get a lot of guests, which is difficult, or I need to do less material, which is also difficult. Deep Space Nine is going to have its own problem because Deep Space Nine is much more serialized than TNG.
Are you doing the whole series for that?
I think so.
Okay.
And I don't know how that's going to play when I have to basically send a document that tells people what they need to know about the episode. I'll try to figure something out about how to get around that. TOS is much more easy. I just don't want to. At the time I made this plan, I didn't want to watch all of TOS. Now I kind of do, but I don't know if I want to podcast about all of them. I might write about some of them or something like that. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. And I don't think people want to just listen to me talk about it. So that's where it stands with that. Why, do you have any suggestions, advice, Clay, Modi?
No, I was just curious. It just seemed like a very specific choice not to do all of them. I guess I was just wondering if it was because you didn't weren't really interested in that series or as much as the later ones, which is totally fair. I mean, I'm not making a judgment or anything.
No, I think that's probably true. Watching TOS episodes sometimes feels like they're a double feature. They do tend to drag. They have the same problem that all of that 60s television kind of had, where it's mm-hmm. one story that you just follow all the way through 55 minutes. Mm-hmm. But no, other than that, I'll see. People let me know if you want more TOS. We're going to be doing the main things. Maybe I'll splinter, mix them up with DS9 or something to give it a little bit of variety.
Mm. You know, I was also wondering what your plan was for DS9 specifically, because I know that it gets more serialized and it might be more difficult.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever watched – I think the only episode of DS9 I ever watched all the way through was the one where they go back to the Tribbles episode of the original series.
What I might do is take the episodes that are basically dealing with the serialized story, like the Dominion War, and just mm-hmm. have one person do them.
That makes sense, yeah.
Because they don't – it's not, you know, it's not a modern drama. They do have episode by episode stuff that goes on. Mm-hmm. It might be, if someone wants to give me a list, or if there is a list, point me in the direction of that list where I could isolate all those episodes and just give them to one person, and see how that goes. That might be the actual solution to going forward. But after that's the movies and the TNG movies, and then Deep Space Nine. We're into that nonsense and moving forward from there. And Deep Space Nine is the exact same amount of episodes as TNG.
Wow.
Wow.
Holy crap.
I can feel the energy draining in the room as I'm talking.
Yeah, okay, so what see you, guys, 20, let's see, 19 then? Okay.
Can we push the recording of the finale? My son's turning 8.
I've got these college graduations to attend, and this is going to be difficult. But that's basically what we've got going forward. And go to Patreon if you want a little bit more mixed up spice and variety of life. But yeah, that's it. I kind of feel like I need to watch all the Star Treks at this point. I do realize how much time this takes. I'm shocked. It's always surprising to me that the audience hangs on with me, which is mm-hmm. very much appreciative, but I'm very surprised by that at a lot of times where I'm like, I can't believe the people are still interested in what we have to say about Star Trek. So as long as that doesn't go away, all systems are go, I think. But, yeah, what do you guys think? Any suggestions you can tell me? Claire, speak freely.
Skip.
I'll edit it out.
Skip everything that you have planned now and just do Enterprise, and then you'll see who your real fans are.
It's true. That's...
if you that's
Enterprise is only 4 seasons, which is the rest, saving grace.
The nice. Rest of all that other stuff, that great stuff you just mentioned, is behind a paywall, and that paywall is you have to make it through Enterprise.
I still
think that you should do the finale of Enterprise because it's just a TNG episode.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably do Enterprise at some point. Like, I've promised Deep Space Nine, so I feel I should go into Deep Space Nine. But if I had thought about this more clearly, I probably – like Enterprise could kind of be the aperitif, like cleanse your palate a little bit mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because it's shorter and it's modern. But who knows outside of that.
Mm-hmm. And it has that kick-ass theme song.
Yeah, it's got a really great theme song. We were talking on Twitter.
Red the sky, flying, down.
You got to have faith of the heart. No one's going to bend or break me. I think this is all the questions. Did I get through all the questions? I think I did.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We're done with TNG.
Oh, gentlemen. My God.
Wow. Take a deep feels breath. Realize where we've come and where we're going to go. But yeah, that's pretty much it for wrapping up TNG. I'll come up with a couple more. This is going to be season 7 wrap-up video. I'll do that by myself. I'll do a video documenting the changes that will be coming to the podcast. All that stuff. We'll be keeping the clips. People like the clips. Does that surprise you?
From the show, you mean?
Yeah, when I put the clips into the podcast.
No, I like the clips, too.
You like the
clips,
too?
Yeah, no, that stuff's good. Yeah, that always gives you – I like that stuff because it gives you a – it contextualizes it a little bit better.
Reminds you know? Of what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Do you like the ratings? Should I continue with the ratings?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think it's – You mean the concept of rating them?
The concept of rating them. I have a huge spreadsheet where I've kept all the ratings. Maybe I'm doing it more for myself and people don't really care about this. I care just because I like to just go back and it's an easy way for me to remember the things very quickly.
Yeah. I like it just because it's a good, you know, way to button it at the end.
Right.
You know, a little coda. If you talk about it and then just kind of go, well, that's it. That's it's nice to have a little bit of a tie off at the end there.
Should I do? No, that does work. Should I adopt a mission log thing where I spend 15 minutes recapping the episode in my own words? Is that
no?
No, you don't do that.
Nope. I think if.
Do you think they regret that decision?
I wonder that about a lot of that podcast that I was saying I used to listen to all the time that I kind of veered off from. The first, 25 minutes is just, a written-up summary of the movie that is chock full of stops and starts because they have to drop all these, in-jokes.
Right.
It's just like, oh.
It's all about efficiency. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you've – one sentence is fine. If you haven't watched the episode, one sentence is – probably all you need.
That'll be on my tombstone, right next to my pile of MP3s from all these podcasts. I think
I remember when we were doing the Prisoner show. I really wasn't sure whether or not to do that at all because I didn't. You know, I couldn't figure out if it dragged it down or if it was worth getting into it. So I think I can't remember what I ended up doing, but there was some sort of middle ground that I think worked okay, but I probably could have done it better.
Yeah,
but
we tended to go through the Prisoner narratively, which is what I did on early TNG episodes as well, and it's not the way to go, I don't think.
The Batman one we've been doing, I just read the one sentence thing from Wikipedia
and then go for it.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine.
All right, guys. So what's the final summary here? You've got about TNG. This is the TNG wrap-up thing.
Do you want to give it a 1-5 rating?
Yeah. What would you give it on a 1-5?
rate the whole series, 1-5.
Rate the entire show, yeah.
Every minute.
Give it a 4, probably. Probably want to watch it.
Solid 4. You'd show it to other
people. Solid 4, yeah. My thing is, again, I'll die on this hill. Tasha Yar, very underrated.
And that is the hill that we all die on. I think that it's I did want to close with something I had been thinking of.
I say that because it has become such a cool thing to hate on that character.
Go ahead. This is kind of like our own personal unjustly maligned take.
Yeah. It's become such a cool thing over the past 20 years or whatever to hate on Tasha Yar because, you know, for whatever reason. And I think it's very unfair. I think she had just as bad a season as anybody else did that first season. And I think she would have moved forward just as fine. And I hate when people do that, not just in this instance, but just generally, where they fall back on a popular dig at something that they don't really understand. It's the cool thing to say. You know, and if a lot of people went back and they actually watched those episodes, they'd realize that she was no better or worse than anybody else. And her character actually had a lot of potential that unfortunately didn't get realized because she got, you know, they dropped a bunch of trash on her.
This is
literally
kind of like a unpopular opinion segment, which I think is a clever way to kind of end this. Here's an unpopular opinion. Code of Honor, the first season episode, is not racist. That's my hot take. It's stereotypical. But people need to stop calling the episode racist because it's not racist. It is not. If that's racist, every single episode of Star Trek is racist because it treats people as a stereotype, which is a narrative thing of the show. They all happen to be black, but they weren't saying that the Federation were superior to this black race. It's not racist like that. They were just making a sort of weak, lazy, stereotypical narrative story about it. So people who call it racist, I have to disagree with you. It's not racist. It's not a good episode. I won't disagree about that, but it is just stereotypical. There is a difference. Modi, do you have an unpopular opinion about this?
All my opinions are popular, unfortunately.
That's not how you get big in this world.
But guys, we can all agree that Wesley sucks, right, guys?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, oh, my popular opinion is that Wesley sucks, guys.
That's a popular opinion that I will say agree with. Yeah, he sucks.
Alexander, beloved by many.
Sucks.
I still think about Swearingen calling Alexander a cocksucker in Fistful of Datas, and I think that would work. Just the final thing I wanted to go out with, I guess TNG is special to me. Clay, you had asked a while ago if this has changed, if I'm ever going to watch it again. Mm-hmm. TNG is special to me, and it's unique, and it's interesting that I, in a way that I don't really understand, because I find it remarkably unexceptional in the best way possible. Like any monologue,
that's all you can really ask, right?
Any monologue from Deadwood is better than any line of dialogue that TNG has ever written.
True.
Any shot of the desert in Breaking Bad is more cinematic than any shot this series has ever done. Mm-hmm. Any character of the millions of characters on The Wire is more fleshed out and well written than any character on TNG.
You really make changing my mind about how much I like this series when you're breaking it down like this.
Despite all this, there's something special about the format and what the show is capable of when they get a good cast together that works together. And that's kind of what the show is like, comfort food in that way. It's not setting the world on fire. I think it's a bizarre thing that this show is nominated for a Emmy for a dramatic series in its seventh season. It's just one of those, the show's going off the air things. Let's reward it.
The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Right.
Oscar.
Yes, exactly. Like you could give this to season six, you could give it to five or three, maybe, but not seven. And that's where the podcast is, stood out to me. Just it's reaffirmed that's what the show is to me, and I can still like it, and it's all good. And shows don't have to have all of the accolades and all the sort of positives that I mentioned for the other shows, which are great shows. It just has to hit you the right way, I guess, if that's the coda for the series. And the show hits me the right way, and I very greatly enjoy it. I've always loved it. It's one of my favorites. It's something that I'll always enjoy going back to. And now we're done with it. Hey, guys. I asked all the podcast guests who weren't able to make the show, which was everybody except for Clay and Modi, to give some short thoughts about the series, what they thought, give them a chance to give a sort of final opinion in this last series wrap-up. So I'm going to leave those audio clips right after this, and then we'll get back into the show. Thanks.
Hello, everyone. TNG is always a difficult series to rate objectively for me because of the nostalgia that I have for it. It was the first Trek series that I really watched most of, and I have a lot of fond memories of a lot of the episodes, recording the episodes, watching them with family, staying up late for them. It definitely has some critical weaknesses or failings, but it also has a lot of moments that are not just good, but great. Even with how TV has evolved, I really have a strong fondness for the characters, and I think those characters and the stories told about them are worth coming back for. It got me hooked as a Trekkie. It's certainly my favorite to pop in and watch casually, and it's always going to have a special place in my heart for the memories that I've had while watching it.
Hey, Mark here. So Wes wanted me to give you some quick thoughts about Star Trek The Next Generation and you know, what I thought about the show overall. And it's really a wonderful show, brought me a lot of joy over the years. It's a beautiful comfort food in the sense that you can just kind of pick up every episode, just sort of watch some of the character interactions, really get into it. At its highest moments, like Best of Both Worlds and All Good Things, you have, you know, really cultural impactful moments, you know, some of the phrases from the show, like Resistance is Futile, Make It So, Number One, have really transcended. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have Geordi being a, you know, a geeky nerd who can't nail down relationships. That being said, you know, overall, it's fun. And, you know, I think it really works in that it's a character drama set in space. And I really enjoyed seeing Troy and Riker and Picard's continued evolvement over the course of the seven seasons. And it was a really fun show to watch. Thank you.
Hi, guys. Tana here. I wanted to just thank Wes for putting together this podcast. He has rekindled my love for TNG, as I'm sure he's done for all of you too. being asked to think critically about a beloved 20-year-old TV series has honestly been a delight, and I have discovered and rediscovered a great many things about what was once my favorite TV show. I think that we can all agree Wok'Sana is the greatest character ever created. Picard is timeless. Data is probably overpowered, but only commandeers the Enterprise like twice, so it's fine. Right, guys? Troy is absolutely best when she's in uniform. Wes, I don't think I'll ever agree with you about Pulaski. And honestly, before your series, I didn't even remember that she was a character in the show, Beverly Crusher having replaced her as the only Starfleet medical officer that I would ever need. But in looking back, I see her as a character before her time, a woman before her time. I think that she behaved scientifically, methodically, evaluated her world as a medical officer should. And I think that if you eliminate her gender, just imagine that she's Jim from the original series or something like that, then the quibbles about her behavior that we discussed on your podcast would mostly fade away, I think. Then again, maybe you just don't like her. I would like to thank Clay and Sean. Recording these shows with you guys was a treat. And thanks to Modi and Amy and Christian and Mark and all the other guests who have boldly gone where no podcast hosts have gone before. And you guys have given me countless hours of entertaining Star Trek analysis. So thanks, guys. And thanks, Wes. Tana out.
Hi, everyone. My thoughts on TNG as a whole are that it's probably going to be my favorite TV series of all time, forever. I grew up with it. It's always been a comfort food for me. I was about 12 years old when All Good Things aired, and I remember that night so very clearly. It's been a wonderful time, and I always love the show. Even at its lowest points, the characters, the themes, they all work for me. And I'm so grateful that I had this chance to experience it with such a great community.
Ba-dum-bum-tum. Guys,
Let's watch it again.
I was thinking about listening to the podcast, and we go back and comment on the podcast of the show that we had.
You can comment on each episode of the podcast then instead.
We'll have new guests on each one.
The way you were breaking it down like that, it made me really rethink all the time I've spent doing this.
And then you have DS9 sitting in front of you right now.
Here it comes.
Thinking about that.
Yeah, that's I gotta go.
Guys, thank you very much again for your time. I greatly appreciate it. We're done with TNG.
Yeah.
And
it's been a lot of fun. I really appreciate being part of it.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's been a long 2 years, but a good 2 years, I think. And we're done with TNG. The giveaway, I'm going to cut in the winner right after this because I'm not going to do it now, but I'll do it in a couple of days, give people a chance to enter. And otherwise, guys, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for supporting the show on Patreon. Thank you for going to Facebook, all that stuff, liking a comment. I greatly appreciate it. It has been a lot of fun. It's been informative, and it has been a very good time for all from all of my perspectives, I guess. I will see you guys very, very soon. We're going to come back with TOS. I might take a week off or something, but we'll be back with TOS after that. So stay tuned for the adventures of Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, and a bunch of other people. See ya. All right, everybody, here we are at a later date, and I'm recording the giveaway section. So I had people email me to enter this raffle. To every email that was sent in, we'd get a raffle ticket, and the patrons on Patreon, however many dollars a month they give, is their tickets, raffle tickets they get. So if you give $2 on Patreon, you get two tickets, $3, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Things we're giving away are the Blu-rays of all the movies, so it's the TOS 6 movies and the 4 TNG movies, so a total of 10 movies, all on Blu-ray in this little package. And we're giving away the Blu-rays for the TNG series, all 178 episodes on Blu-ray in that high remastered, high definition, great-looking thing. It's really nice to have. It's nice to have. I watched the second half of the series on the TNG Blu-rays, and it makes a big difference. So very nice. Nice to have. Good for fans. Thank you, patrons, for supporting the show. Thank you, everyone who emailed me to enter. I appreciate there's a lot of people I didn't know listen to the show. Obviously, I know people listen to the show, but I don't know their names or things like that. So I appreciate you emailing me. Thank you very much. It's as it stands now, and this is the way it was intended. This is looking more and more like a not more and more, but it's sort of a coin toss. There's about 50% Patreon tickets and about 50% listener emails. So We're going to start with, I assigned everybody a row on my spreadsheet here, which I've got, and then I'm going to go to random.org, and I've got that set up with the total number of rows. I'm going to click this button, and it is going to give me a number. I'm going to look at the spreadsheet, and you are the winner. So the first person, or the first prize we're giving away are the movies, the TOS movies and the TNG movies. So you get 10 movies on Blu-ray. I'm going to click the button. It gives me number 81. Number 81. I look at my spreadsheet, and 81 goes to Ewan Tibbetts. That's Ewan Tibbetts. Good luck, or congratulations, Ewan. You won the Star Trek movie Blu-ray set. I'm going to be emailing everybody about this afterwards, so we'll be in contact. Now let's go to the TNG Blu-ray, the big prize here, the TNG series Blu-ray. I'm going to hit the button on random.org. It came up with a different number. It came up with a lucky number 69. How about that? It goes to, scroll up, 69 is David Dunphy. Oh, these are both patrons, actually, on Patreon. That's kind of nice. So, guys, David, David Dunphy, he won the Blu-ray TNG. I'm sorry, I'm fucking up your name. Ewan, I don't know why I called it Ewan, but Ewan, you have won the Blu-ray movies. Congratulations, guys. Thank you, everybody, for entering. I will be in touch with the winners to send them the prizes.